Hey everyone, this is Lil, and you're listening to Lil on Life. Thanks for tuning into the practice segment. Before I get into the practice, I've received questions from the concept around setting boundaries through difficult conversations, and specifically about when listening just becomes endless venting and doesn't seem to be going anywhere. So a number of people have said, okay, so I show up for people and I listen and I support, but it seems like they're not willing to make any changes or listen to any advice, or really it just gets kind of toxic and becomes more about venting. And what do you do in that space? And I commented on this in the concept segment, but I'll share a few more things just for the purpose of further clarity. The thing I really want to say here is that you can't make somebody change or want to do something. And some people do get stuck. They get stuck in their rumination, or they get stuck in their hurt or their pain. And in situations like that, one of the kindest things to do is to gently pause and say, I've heard you. I can see how difficult this is for you. I see how painful it is. So where do we go from here? Or something to the effect of, I'm not sure what more I can do. Is there anything else I can do for you today? Those gentle nudges to somebody help to stop the rumination cycle, or at least pause it, and gives you a chance to redirect them. But you own the process, not the outcome. And people need to get to their own place of readiness before they're willing to confront or make some of these changes. I talked about this in the concept, but I'll say it again. For some people, the desire for comfort or the familiar or what they know is more comfortable than making a change, even if it is what they want. And also, it's about remembering that for some people, a level of support that you give is never going to be enough. Because what they're really looking for is the desire and motivation to change, but they may not be there, and it's not yours to give them. In the coaching space, we say that for somebody to be coachable on a specific topic, they have to have a desire for change, or really a dissatisfaction with the current state. Often when someone is venting or sharing, they have a dissatisfaction with the current state, but then they may be missing the next two pieces, which is a vision for the future, or really a knowledge of what they want to achieve. And the next is the willingness to do the work. We know from the addictions literature that you can't convince someone they need to change. You can't convince somebody that they need help. It's the mind that holds the problem, that holds the solution. So, using myself as an example here, in the feedback that Corinne gave me, I had a role to play to get out of that mindset, but I wasn't ready to get there until I really reflected on what she said and saw the impact that my mindset, and in particular my negativity bias, and how it was showing up. But once I noticed it, I could really attune to when it was happening, and when it was happening, I could slow things down to make a choice about what I was seeing in that moment, or maybe not seeing. And that's what started the gateway for me to make those changes. But if she had just said to me what she said and left it to me and expected that I would use that to change my mindset, it wouldn't happen. We so often try to change people, but change doesn't happen unless they want it to. That desire for change or dissatisfaction with the current state, the vision for the future and what they want to achieve, and the willingness to do the work. So that's the first question that I've had around how do I set healthy boundaries? And the other question that I've gotten, or the other comment, is when I'm approaching somebody, what if they get mad at me? And feeling afraid or scared that saying to somebody, hey, I've noticed that you haven't been yourself, or maybe I'm concerned about you, will make them upset. And my response to that is we don't control people's reactions. And it's pretty hard to argue with somebody saying, I care about you, I'm concerned about you, I just want to check in. And if we give feedback or share that and somebody is upset, we have to recognize that that has more to do with them than it does with us. To use my own story as an example here, when the feedback was given to me, I was upset. And I was upset for a while, but it was the medicine I needed. And that's the medicine that tastes the worst going down, but is the one we need the most. If we really care about someone, we have to prioritize our care and compassion for them, because that's what's within our control, over their reaction. And we have to understand that sometimes people have to get there at their own time. When our intention is to show up in love and kindness, we have to trust that our own intentions are about supporting somebody rather than upsetting them or making them feel hurt. So those were the two common things that I had asked of me in reaction to the concept segment. And in this practice segment, we're actually going to shift gears a little bit to talk about how we can support ourselves. We do so much listening to other people, but we very infrequently sit and listen to ourselves to really hear where we're at, to treat ourselves like a friend. And now we'll talk through some strategies of how we go about sharing, because it can be really hard to know where to start. And the first thing I'll say before I get into this is it is perfectly okay to ask for help or support. We evolved as social creatures, and we need others to help us see different perspectives. We have to realize that we can't do it alone. In evolving as social creatures, it's about knowing how we leverage our communities. We live in this very individualistic society that has told us that hyper-independence is what's strong and how we achieve, and that is great for some things, but not when it relates to things that involve other people. We also know that we have repeated narratives that are influenced by our automatic thinking patterns. And so, for example, if you were like me, and earlier in my life where I had that negativity bias, I would very quickly assume that something was the worst or see only the worst in something. Or if you're one of the soloist perfectionist types, you might be thinking, I'm going through something, but I need to do this all on my own. And in doing that, you can really isolate yourself from supports and resources that can help keep you safe and supported in times that are really difficult. Because when we remember that we are talking to ourselves all day, every single second of the day, we have that inner narrative, the voice between our two ears that is telling us things which we often believe as facts, we forget that other things may be true. And the power of conversation is that it can help us get out of ourselves and remind us that we are not alone. So if there's something that you've been sitting with and thinking, maybe I could use an ear, but I really don't know, or I'm not sure where to get started. We know that since 2020 and the beginning of COVID, that people have lost some of their social skills. And we know that generation over generation, the number of people we consider close friends has been shrinking over time. So that can create a lot of barriers to getting help that people really need. And some of the first steps to getting there is to remember that you don't have to do it alone. Remember that talking is helpful. And start by making a list of people that you can talk to. Or even if it's not people you can talk to, just start by making a list of people that you consider yourself feeling safe with. And if you're in a situation where you think you make that list and you don't see anybody on there, or there isn't anyone that you feel safe with, then look at what other supports you do have available to you. In my workplace, we have something called an Employee and Family Assistance Program. This is professional help that is confidential and often no cost or low cost. I know that in the city I live in, access to supports often means long wait lists and is also very expensive. And if you have employee programs through your workplace, use them. I know it can be really tricky. I've used the service a number of times before, and the first person that you get matched up with isn't always the best fit. That's certainly been my case, and part of it is it can be really hard to advocate for yourself in these situations, but it is so important that you do that. So I've called back in and said, you know, I'm not sure this person is who I am best matched with. Is there somebody else that I could be matched with? And sometimes it's taken 3 or 4 times to find the right person, but we know that the best outcomes come from having a good rapport with the person you're speaking with. So I know it adds an additional burden, and especially if you're coming from a place where you're feeling already defeated, but doing nothing is certainly not going to change things. And the nice thing about it too is, especially if you're leveraging in professional support, is sometimes we feel like we have nothing to say or we don't know where to start, but these are people that are trained to ask questions and solicit and invite your point of view, and you might be surprised what comes out. One of the nicest stories I have in my mind right now comes after a difficult workplace situation that happened, speaking with a colleague who was involved in the situation and inviting them into the conversation by saying, I'd really love to talk to you, no pressure as to when, but I'm here. And It actually took him a little while to get back to me and to take me up on it, but when he did, we ended up talking for an hour and a half. Because when we have safety in speaking and when we feel safe with somebody, it can create the environment that makes us comfortable to say things out loud, which sometimes is the first time we're even seeing or acknowledging those things for ourselves. And when we hear ourselves talk out loud sometimes, and when we have that space and runway, it can surprise us what comes out. I know for me, one of the barriers that's previously stopped me from feeling like I can talk to somebody or that anyone would even want to listen is, frankly, a vulnerability and an insecurity that maybe what I had to say didn't matter, or that nobody would care what I had to say, or that it was burdensome or bothering other people. And that's a really hard thing to overcome, and another reason why using the professional supports available to you can be one way around that. But watch out, sometimes once you start talking, you can't stop, or at least that's what happened to me, and here we are now. Joking aside though, talking really can help. And it's not just about the words we use, but just the space for the reflection to sit and think about what narratives you're telling yourself and what you believe in that moment. And also sometimes hearing something out loud and having somebody else say it to us can help us validate our own emotions and offer that self-compassion to ourselves. So starting by making a list of who you can talk to, whether it's a friend or a professional support, helps you have some tools at your fingertips so that when you're ready to talk to somebody, and again, that readiness really matters, but sometimes having the things that can enable that conversation or that readiness just helps to get us there faster. And so once you've made that list, it's about really sitting and reflecting about what you need from that conversation. And the same way as how when we were talking about supporting others, there was the, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to listen? Do you want me to give advice? Or do you want me to take action? We can actually ask ourselves that same question. We can say to ourselves, what is it that I am really looking for? Am I looking for someone to hear me? Am I looking for someone to give me advice? Or am I looking for someone to do something to support me? And when you heard me talk about this in the context of supporting somebody else, that might have resonated, or at least it has when I've shared it with other people. But isn't it interesting how we don't spend that same amount of time asking ourselves those types of questions? And it really does go back to that cultivating the relationship with ourselves. When we really go into something clear about what it is we're looking for, if it's just to be heard, for example, then this also helps us show up and ask for that help in a way that is helpful to the person we're asking that of. Because when people don't know, they make assumptions and fill in the gaps, and we have a role to help them help ourselves. And so further to that, if you know what it is you're looking for, let's say it is advice or listening, it is a gift to tell that other person what you need when you reach out. And that's the next step we're gonna talk about here. So if you've made your list of people that you can talk to and you're thinking about, okay, so what do I do from here? This is really uncomfortable. How do I reach out to that person? I would suggest you make contact in a way that is comfortable for you, whether that be sending a text message or an email or maybe a phone call. And it's just about making the ask for help. You can say something like, I haven't been feeling like myself recently. I could really use your perspective, or I'd love your ear. Is that something you're open to? You're inviting them into it. You're asking them whether they have the capacity to support you in that situation. And I think the thing is, we have to sometimes understand that people are dealing with their own life situations. And so somebody may want to show up for us, but may not be able to in that moment. And that's okay. It's about understanding that that's not about us. And if they do say yes, then it's about thinking about how to make that situation safe for both parties. So that might look something like, I haven't been feeling like myself recently, or I've just not been my best. I could really use a friend. Are you open to a phone call? And if they say yes, then when might work for you that would be a good time for you to be present? And it's also about thinking about the environment and situations we need to make that safe. So when we really set up the conversation in that way, when we are going into it with the specific ask of what it is we're looking for, when we're inviting them and asking if they have the capacity for that, and then co-creating that safety, we've done a lot of the work to start the conversation on the right foot and to set us up for the best outcomes possible. And on the topic of outcomes, it's about remembering that no one can fix something for you. and that often the things we're bringing into conversations aren't that person's to control or own. So it's not about the fixing, but it's about being less alone in our thoughts or in our fears. I know I've had conversations with people where I've encouraged them to talk to somebody, whether it's EFAP or another provider. What I have heard when I've offered that as an option to people is, yeah, I talked to them, but you know, it didn't fix anything. It didn't change anything. Or they might say, well, that didn't help. I'm still in the same situation. But often there's a, but it was helpful to be heard. And I think this goes back to being really clear on what it is that you are looking for out of a conversation and having realistic expectations about what's going to come from it. Because often the things we bring in are too big to be fixed. And if they could have been fixed, they probably would have been. But there are things that are either representative of deep wounds or things that are outside of our control. And just having a space to feel less alone in them can be really powerful. So even when we don't think something helped, sometimes it did, if it helped to make us feel more connected. And that's why that therapeutic rapport is so important when we talk about treatment outcomes and getting along with the person you're connecting with, because ultimately it's about having a sense of connection versus the solutioning or fixing of a problem. And the last thing here is about remembering that it can be hard. It takes a lot of vulnerability to show up and a lot of authenticity to share our fears, our hopes, our dreams, our pains. And so it's also about being kind to ourselves, remembering that it takes courage. Even for someone like me who is very out there and talks a lot about very real and personal things to me, it takes courage every single time. And it's about the aftercare and what I do and what we do to recharge after that situation. Because even if there is connection that comes out of those scenarios or situations, they still take a lot out of us. And it's about leaning into that self-care and supporting ourselves so that it continues to be safe and supportive for us to show up. So to summarize, some of the ways that we can show up for ourselves and invite supports when we need it are by starting by realizing we can't do it all on our own, remembering that social connections can help to support us, remembering that you are talking to yourself all the time anyways, and that there may be things that you are not seeing. And once you give yourself that permission, it's about making a list of people or supports that you can talk to, making a list of their contact numbers so that you know where you can go. And from there, it's about really asking yourself what you're looking for them to do, whether it's listen, take action, or give advice. And then once you know that, the next step is to make the invitation, make contact, reach out and ask specifically for what you need. Assess their capacity by asking them if they can support you in that way. From there, it's about creating an infrastructure of safety, focusing about the environment and how to make it safe for both parties, and remembering that no one can fix for you. And finally, it's about being kind to yourself, offering yourself that self-compassion, and leaning into your aftercare. And speaking of breaks, on behalf of Brandon and I, we would really like to thank you for being along this journey with us. It has been an absolute pleasure and a blast. And we're gonna keep it going, but we are taking a small break while we figure out where we go from here. So thank you so much for being on this journey with us. It's been a pleasure so far, and we can't wait to see you again soon. This is Lil, and you're listening to Lil on Life. Talk soon. If you're enjoying this podcast, please like, follow, and leave a 5-star review. If you'd like to reach out, you can get me on my Gmail at lilonlifepod@gmail.com. That's Lil with one L, onlifepod@gmail.com. Or on my socials at lilonlifepod. Lil on Life podcast is produced by Brando & Co. Brandon is a photographer, director, and podcast producer. You can see some of his creations on Instagram at Brandon Allen. Get in touch to see how you can collaborate. Opinions expressed in this podcast are my own and may not reflect those of my employers. If you or someone you know is in danger, please dial 911. If you or someone you know is thinking about suicide, call or text 988. Support is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That number again is 988. Lil on Life is a Big B and Little L collaboration.